All right, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. It said, "But you shall be for me a kingdom of priests." And this is the will of the Lord right back from the very beginning. It was the will of God that we would be a kingdom of priests. People that could go in and hear God and come out and share what the Lord has said. Such a powerful thing. And from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's plan for us to know Him and to hear Him. Isn't that right, Brother Floyd? It's God's will to hear Him. I tell you what, you and your precious brother taught me the importance of hearing from God. And it was such a joy. And then, says Claypool, I watched you and that precious husband of yours follow God all of those years. So, I mean, we got some real saints here tonight that can really tell us the story about this, about following God, the process of following God. All right, it's the will of the Lord that God, all the way back in Exodus now, God is saying, I want to make you into a kingdom priest. God said, I want everybody to be able to come into my presence. I want everybody to be able to hear me. I want everybody to be able to walk out of their prayer closet and know what God has shared with them. And know what the will of the Lord. It's not the will of God that we live in the dark. Now, we're studying this from the process of the tabernacle. And go ahead, if you would, chance with me. And that's the process. God, I talked this morning about the three groups. I'm going to kind of leave those three groups. I hope you decided which group you want to be in. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to be in that back group?
No.
No, we don't want to be in that back group. I don't really want to be in that middle group. That's where all the people hang out. But I don't want to be in that middle group. I want to be in that front group, the utmost group, the ones that's toting the presence of God, following God. Amen. I want to be in that group that's hearing from God, that's following the Lord, that everybody else is watching you follow God. And so you can either be in the group that's going to watch you're going to watch someone else follow God, or you can say, God, I'm going to be the one of those that follow God. And so it's the principle of what the Lord was saying is, I want to establish my throne in your life, in every person. It's the will of God, not only that we have an altar, and we stop at the altar. Oh, praise God for the altars. But the Lord wants us to be able to surrender at the altar. But then it's the will of God that we get the power of the throne working in our life. Man, the judgments of the Lord. Hey, how you doing? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you... did you have a good time at the men's conference? Yeah, I think Dad did too. Yeah, I think he did too. But it is, it's the will of the Lord that the throne would be worked in our life. See, it's God's will not only that you're all the time asking Him to forgive you. It's the will of the Lord that He can begin to direct you. And then you can begin to take authority over the devil and all the powers of darkness. So don't quit at just the surrender. You press past the altar and find the throne. And you begin to declare from the very throne of God what the will of the Lord. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells us not only is this the Old Testament desire, this is the New Testament desire too. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said, "But you are a chosen generation." How many chosen people do we have here tonight? "I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." That just sounds good, doesn't it? I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what God's will was. That's almost the exact thing that we've just read in the book of Exodus. It's to win the will of the Lord all the time. That God would bring us to a place where we could have a relationship with Him. Where we could walk into that prayer closet and we could begin to hear from heaven. And then we would be able to walk out not confused in life. Not trying to figure out what we're going to do. But we would walk out with the very plan of God. And began to live out of our life and through our life the power of God. Amen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it said, His own special people. Somebody say, I'm His special one. His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it just continue on, tells us. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. So it's going to take a responsibility. I know we don't want to think in the New Testament we've got to do anything, but we do. If you're going to be that front-running group, there's going to be some responsibilities that you're going to have to take on in your life. Now, you can be in that middle group, the group that follows those that carry the presence of God. You can be in that second group and without much effort. But just know, you'll never know what it is to know the joy of fulfilling God's destiny in your life. Because God's already told us what His destiny is. His destiny is that we become that front runner group. It's the will of God that we become that person that we're able to hear the voice of God, that we're able to stand on the Word of God, and we're able to turn situations around through the power of God. So that's what the will of the Lord is. So if I'm going to be in that second group, and that's where the masses of the people usually are. In fact, there was only 4 front runners, and there was 3 million of the secondary group. So if you're going to press forward, and if you're going to be in that front runner group, that part that hears God, moves with God, moves with the power of God, it's going to take some responsibility on our life. And somebody says, I'm ready for it. Man, I'm ready for it. Aren't you? I'm just ready for it. I'm ready for God to move me off of... You know, I'm just tired of watching other people follow God. I'm tired of telling other people's stories. How many is ready to start telling your own miraculous stories? Amen. Your own miracles. What God's doing in your life and the power of God. Well, it tells me that I can be that voice of honor. Now, so the Lord's will is that God establish the throne. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, speaking in that same vein, the Lord said, you also as living stones, you're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. It's always been God's will that I be a priest, that I be one that could walk in and hear God, and I could walk out and declare to the people the power of God. I tell you what, we've just settled for much less than what God wants us to have. And says that He wants to be a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Somebody say spiritual sacrifices. Oh, you can tell me all day about physical things you do for God, but the Lord wants something to happen spiritually in your life, just between you and Him, to where you can begin to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the will of God. I want to talk to you very quickly, going to another place, but I want to talk to you about what it is, this front runner group, what they have opportunity to experience. The person that will take a hold to the presence of God and lift it on their shoulder and assume the responsibility to believe God and trust God, to take the presence of God into their situation. Now, God offers us different levels of His glory. Now, somebody said, was she supposed to be a Christian? Well, let me tell you what, there's a whole lot of people that are supposed to be a Christian. And there's a whole lot of Christians that just live so far below the standard that God has called us to live. In fact, most Christians, including me, live so far below the standard of the power of God that God wants in our life. I mean, the miracles in the Bible, God wants those same things demonstrated in my life. He wants the stories not just to be the stories of Peter, James, and John. God wants to bring it to a place where it becomes my miraculous story. I tell you what, you hang around Gary very long and you'll find out he's got a bunch of stories. Amen. God wants to demonstrate His power in and through my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. It says, but we all with unveiled face. I love that. You got to take off the pretenders. You got to quit pretending. You got to be real before God. You got to quit trying to act religious and you got to be spiritual. You've got to come to a place where you care more about what God thinks than what people thinks. You got to come more to you more concerned over really satisfying the heart of God than you are satisfying somebody's estimation of you. Until you're really ready to lay down what people think about you, you're not really ready to move close to the power of God. But if you're ready to get out of, to come into a place, you're ready to be that front runner group that literally carry the presence of God, that other people stand by and watch and say, that's the way God wants us to go. When you get ready to do that, and then you want to begin to wrestle and really wrestle and lay down the fear of people, the insecurities, the things that the devil has used, and some things the devil has used in our lives for so long to keep us away from the true presence of God. I mean, some things have just got to be wrestled, just like Jacob did. Some things we have to get a hold of the power of God to begin to wrestle those things out of our life. Quit living a life of excuses and say, I'm going to begin to live a life of power. Amen. Amen. And we begin to wrestle those things out of our life that the devil has used for so long to hang us up and to stop God's power from being able to flow through us. We've got to just wrestle those things. Now it says, but we with unveiled face, given back as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed. What? There's a miraculous change. Somebody said, I'm being changed every day by the Lord. But being changed, but then it tells us what the will of the Lord is. It's to change me from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That's what God's purpose is and plan. Is that I begin to move into higher levels of God's glorious power. It is the will of the Lord that God move each one of us into the Shekinah glory. We call that the manifested presence of God. It is the will of the Lord. To whether you will accept the challenge or you refuse the challenge or you allow hang-ups and bondages to hold you back from that challenge. It is the will of God that we move into a place where the glory level of God increases. So I want to mention the five major glory levels of the Lord. Because, see, it says from glory to glory. Everybody say from glory to glory. All right, the first glory level I want to mention is His omnipresent, God being everywhere. God's presence. We're talking about degrees of God's presence that's able to be in our lives. Now, I'm amazed at the world. They're satisfied with this. Now, truly, the presence of God is everywhere. I can walk out into the trees. I can feel the breeze blowing. I can find God everywhere. But that is probably the lowest level of God's glory. But we can recognize Him. Remember I say we can recognize the presence of God everywhere and everything. Even you may be right now into the hardest situation that your life's ever been through. You may be facing circumstances there's no way in the world that you can figure out how to change. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus beat you there. Amen. Jesus is already there. You cannot go anywhere. David said, even if I make my bed in hell, Lord, you're there. God's everywhere, filling every cell, filling every fiber. God is everywhere. Aren't how many thankful that God is everywhere? There's no place. In fact, some of you are frightened over going to a doctor's appointment. Some of you are frightened over having to maybe make a public speech. Some of you are frightened, but I want to tell you what, God's already there. God is already there, well ahead of you. Amen? But now, that's the first level of God's glory. I want to mention the second level. The second level of God's glory is His revealing presence. Now, this is that revealing presence. This is the one where I really began to know of a God. This is when you was lost as a skunk. And God began to reveal Himself to you. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or unsaved. God's revealing Himself, letting you know. I'll tell you, one day you will stand before God and no man will have an excuse. No one will ever be able to stand before God and say, hey, I didn't have a chance. Because God is revealing Himself to every person. And you may be hiding behind all types of pretenses, but God's revealing Himself to you. God is revealing. I can remember God revealing Himself to me. I remember what a momentous time that was in my life. Man, I can remember God dealing with me. I can remember as everybody thought I was lost as a goose. But what they didn't know, I had went for a year where God was trying His best to reveal Himself to me. In fact, I worked at a place, I was engaged in things that was not legal at the time. And when I worked in that place, every time I would go into the back room, God would deal with me. Now, it wasn't like I knew anything about God. I wasn't able to place a history there before God, but God was revealing Himself to me. There's no one without excuse. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, God's revealing. Somebody said, I didn't know. Yes, you do know. Because God's revealing presence. God loves you. He's constantly drawing you. He's constantly dealing with you. He's constantly wooing you to come closer to Him. He's constantly wooing you to come out of situations. He's constantly dealing with you to change. He's constantly dealing with you to forgive. He's constantly dealing with you to take a step up. God's revealing presence is always dealing and always working. Somebody give Jesus a great hand for His revealing presence. The revealing presence of God. Aren't you thankful for that? I can remember when Elaine and I were so desperate in our situation. I mean, we was desperate in our marriage. We was desperate in the job I was in. We was desperate in every circumstance. I can remember that night walking by that television set. Now, I can remember Billy Graham being on that television set and him catching my attention and him drawing. God's revealing presence drew me to that television that night. And although he had been dealing with me hard for a year or so, I didn't even realize what was happening. That night, he finally made a opportunity. He stepped out of that television set and dealt with me in my life. And I was able to kneel on that floor that night and give my heart to Jesus. I want you to know God's revealing presence is so wonderful. It's so powerful. Listen, moms and dads, you think about little Johnny. I'm going to tell you, God's revealing presence. Johnny hasn't got away from God. You got to know that no matter where your children have wandered to, no matter what depth they've went to, God is still there. And God can reveal Himself to them in the power of God. Now, I love to give the testimony. I'll give it several times. But I love to give the testimony about the revealing presence that took place in my mother's life. My mother was far from God at that time. Now, I understand there had been a past history where my mother had really known the Lord, but I didn't know that side of my mother back then when I came on to know the Lord. Hey, Gabby. Hey, girl. But at that point, she was in desperate situation. And she had been with a man that had put her life into danger. She found herself down in Florida, living in a little travel trailer, desperately fearful that this man was going to take her life. That night, God sent a little bird. Now, I tried to talk to my mother, I can't tell you, countless times about the Lord. I tried to convince her of her need for God. I could never, ever convince her. But that night, God sent a little bird that sat outside that little camper window. And what the world would have heard, they would have heard a little bird chirping. But what my mother heard is how much God loved her and how much God cared for her. And that she was able that night to begin to turn her life around because of the revealing presence of God. Who do you need to pray for that needs the revealing presence of God? Who do you need to ask God to go find them, Holy Spirit? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're able to go find them. You're able to bring change in them. You're able to reveal. It doesn't matter how hard they may have seen they've grown. God is able to reveal Himself to them. I mean, is there anybody that needs to pray for somebody? Just leap to your feet real quick. If there's somebody that needs to pray for somebody, why don't we just believe right now? Take your little arms, reach them up toward heaven and say, power of the Holy Spirit, I believe there's nobody, there's no one that you can't reach. There's no one that you can't touch. And so, Lord, I ask you for the glory of your revealing presence to be made real to them. Lord, go get them. Gather them in. Convince them of their love. Convince them of your love for them and cause them to know you. Help them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we got to believe that. Amen. Got to trust the Lord that God is. All right, the next degree of God's presence is His indwelling presence. Not only does the Lord have His omnipresence, and not only does He have His revealing presence. We come to where God, we find that when we accept Jesus, when we've prayed that prayer, when we've asked God to forgive us, when we've asked God to come to our life, there is an abiding presence of God. Every level of God's glory gets stronger and stronger. I'm going to tell you what, this is a powerful degree of God's glory. At this degree of God's glory, it completely changed my life. It took a radical change. It has still taken many, many years for that change to take place. But at the moment that I accepted the Lord, at that moment, an abiding presence of God begin to dwell in my spirit. And it won't let me alone. It won't let me stay the same. It will not allow. Amen? And that abiding presence of God is worth everything in the world. I'm going to tell you what. And that's worth, if there was no other degree of level of God's glory, that right there. To know what it is to lay your head on a pillow at night and have the peace of God in your heart. To be able to trust Him. To be able to know that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That there is a hope to change in every situation and every circumstance. There is a hope to be able to turn any situation around because of that abiding presence of God that is in you. As a believer, I want you to know that you almost have to fight God to be able to give place to strong discouragement in your life. Every one of us face discouragement, but there's always that abiding presence of God that's trying to speak truth into us. I don't care what level, what degree of battle that you're in tonight, inside you, there is a voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, that voice is usually a quiet voice. In fact, the Bible says it like this. It says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Elijah told us about that voice, and it's a quiet voice, as he said. There is a gentle voice of God that takes place inside your spirit as God is there in that abiding presence. You are never alone. I want you to know you never have to be lonely again. Because you are never, ever alone. God loves you, and God's in you, and God's with you forever. You will never, ever, ever have to face another situation on your own. You will never, ever have to fight another battle by yourself. You will never, ever have to face the enemy again. With no one but you, there's an abiding presence of God. Nita, there's an abiding presence of God in you, and His name is Jesus, and He's the healer. And Anita, you're not facing this alone. The healer is in you. The healer is consistently working in your life. Amen. Amen. And the God of peace is there. Even in the midst of when all situations are frustrating, and Lord knows so many times I wring in my hands, but know all the time that inside you there is a God of peace. And He is able, because the God of peace is there, does not mean you won't face storms, but it means that His peace can still the vilest of storms. So whatever storm that you're facing, that abiding peace that's in you is strong enough and able enough to handle that storm. Amen? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you so thankful? Aren't you just so thankful that God's abiding presence almost, boy, I tell you what, I think I'm not sure the Lord made it. I think He should have given me a talent of singing. Man, so many times I'll be like this and I just want to start singing. I don't know what, but I want to sing. There's something in me that wants to sing about the goodness of God and the wonderfulness of the Lord and the healing of the Lord. So you guys that can't sing, will y'all please sing for me? Because I can't. But in me, I tell you what, if you just knew what my heart was singing, if you could just hear what I hear, oh, well, you would know. But every one of us have that. Every person in this building that's accepted Jesus, you have that in you, that a very abiding presence of the Lord. Now, there's not only do we have the abiding presence of the Lord, but also there we have the flowing. Everybody say the flowing presence of God. Now I love this because things get stronger. Everybody say things get stronger. In this dimension, it's the flowing presence of God. Now, this is especially true that people, that they sought the power of the Holy Spirit. And they, everybody say, they outlasted their frustration, and they outlasted their tendency to be impatient, and they've stayed, and they refused to allow the enemy to stop them from receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. A person that will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden that abiding presence, not only is it a peaceful river, now it becomes a violent river of change on the inside of them. The Bible says in the book of John, it says, anyone who believes in me, this is what Jesus says, may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow. Everybody say rivers. I don't know how many of you have seen a quiet river. You don't see very many quiet rivers, especially this time of the year, do you? A river is a violent mover, a cutter. It begins to cut through the things and says that rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And then Jesus explains what he's talking about. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to every believer, everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory. So people that have broken through and you said, you know what? I'm not going to be denied. I'm going to have that next level of the Lord in my life. And you've allowed the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, there is a river inside you. Now my heart was singing when I was talking about the abiding presence. Now I want to go to shouting because I'm talking about a power of a river that's flowing inside of believers that are spirit filled. I'm going to tell you what, you can't stop a river. You may try to dam it up. You may try to stop it up. You may try to plug it up. But I'm going to tell you, a river will just cut through somewhere else and keep going. God has put a power, a flow inside you to where everything that the devil has tried to stop before is unstoppable now. Because it's gone from God's abiding presence to God's flowing presence. So every time that the devil tries to stand up in front of you and say, I'm not going to allow you to do that, or I'm not going to allow you to have that, I'm not going to allow that to be in your life. I'm going to tell you what, and if we could just know the things that the devil has tried to cut short in our life, the things that the devil has tried to take away from us, the things that the devil has tried to rob from us, God intended good things for us all our life. God brought us into this world with the full intention of the blessings of God to be in upon our life. It wasn't God that stopped it, but the devil stood up and tried to bring a halt to all the goodness that God had in our life. And as long as we had the abiding presence, we had a peace in that storm, but we had no way of moving that obstruction away. But once you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, not only do you have a peace in the storm, you have something now that's able to move that obstruction out of your way for the glory of God. I tell you, believers just need to come alive, and we need to, and I need to realize the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit of God is. The Bible says it's a river. It's a river that'll bring healing. It's a river that will cut through the hardest of materials. It's a river that will continue to flood. There's a river of great swimming, of great joy, of great victory. There's a river. The devil may come along to you and say, I'm going to stop your joy. Not if you've got the river, honey. All you got to do is turn the spout on and that river will begin to flow out of you. There is a force of the Holy Ghost that's inside of our life that is unstoppable. Somebody say unstoppable. It's unstoppable. That's what the devil needs to know. The devil needs to know that you know that God has put something in you that is unstoppable. Sickness can't stop you. Depression can't stop you. No matter what the devil has tried to do, it cannot stop you. Because God has put something in you that is unstoppable for the glory of God. Amen. But we must allow it. Amen. The Holy Spirit filling my life, I must allow that. And so many times, and because we put it in its own little compartment and not allow the Holy Spirit fill our life? How many times have I done that? How many times would I put the Holy Spirit in one compartment of my life that I call spiritual? But all the other areas of my life that God wanted to work in, I would almost like put it in a closet and lock the door. But I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning. We're learning. We're learning to open the doors to God. We're praying. We're praying. Open the doors, oh God. We're searching. We're searching. Open the doors, oh God. Because the Lord has put the power in each of our lives to change our lives, to turn our lives, to overcome in life. And how many times in my life I've lived so far below what God had made available. But we're learning. Somebody say it with me. We're learning. We're learning. We're growing. Somebody say we're growing. We're growing. We're learning to open up to the Lord, right? We're learning. We're learning. You got a part now. We're learning. We're growing. You got a part. We're growing. We're coming out. We're coming over. All that the enemy tried to push us down under. All of the dirt that the devil tried to pile on our life. All of the things that we thought God wouldn't forgive, couldn't forgive. We're learning. And we're growing. And we're coming out. We're going to allow the Lord to finally do, hopefully, what He wants to do. Aren't you tired of just playing church? How many is tired of just playing religion? Tired of that, aren't we? We want to experience God. Because the last level of God's presence is God's manifested presence. This is the one that Jesus waited to reveal. It said when Jesus did the miracle at the Cana of Galilee, said that was the first time that He manifested His glory. Now, what does that level of glory mean? What does that level? That means God wants to show up in all of our lives. And God wants to do something so wonderful and so powerful that for years that people will talk about what God did. That's why in the Old Testament, as we're talking about moving into the presence of God, is full of the manifested presence of the Lord. The glory of God would come as they would praise and worship the Lord. The glory of God would come and fill the temple. And all of those that were gathered there, they were not able to stand underneath the very presence of God. God was able to come in and to open up entire bodies of water. God was able to do things that no man could deny. Now, whether you realize it or not, God desires that in these last days. God's just waiting for someone to move into that place with Him. Now, I'm amazed at how many times that Jesus it uses the terms manifested presence in the life of Jesus. He's a good example. Isn't He a good example? How many of you appreciate the good example that Jesus is in all of our lives? I'm so thankful that I'm not my own example. I'm so thankful that I don't have to cut my own patterns. I'm so thankful for Jesus. For Jesus. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And how many times, over and over again, it says, through Jesus, which is my example, God manifested His glory through Him. God manifested. God did things through Jesus that no one could deny of the miraculous power of God. I believe God wants to bring us to that level. I believe God wants to bring you to that level. I believe God wants to bring me to that level. I believe God wants to bring us to the level, the highest level, the Shekinah glory of God. I want you to just imagine with me a moment. I want you to imagine with me that you're one of those camel riders I was talking about this morning. And you're coming across the hot desert, man. And all of a sudden, the night comes on. And you think there's nobody in the world that's there that even knows that you're in the world. There you are, lopping along on your camel. And all of a sudden, you come over a hill. And there's the brightest light you've ever seen. It's even fire that's burning on top of a huge tent. You can't imagine. What could that be? That can't be man-made. It can't be man's doing. I know what it is. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. That's what multitudes would see as they would come over the hills, and they would see the fire of God burning over the tabernacle of His presence. God wants that same thing over our lives. Amen.